Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
That is a fair ball over the bag. Escobar rounding second. He'll go to third. Nunez on his way to second. Escobar's going to be waved around. And the throw up the line. The Twins lead 2-0. Very, very aggressive base running by the Twins. And a base hit, another RBI for Rosario on a 3-0 Twins lead. That's what the Twins love to see. He fell behind 0-2, fought off some pitches, and ended up getting an RBI save. Chopper to short. And they scoop it first by Napoli. But a run comes in. Rosario from third, making it a 4-0 ball game. A drive to left. Ramirez back. It is gone. What an at-bat for Trevor Blue.
Well, the fastball's away that Trevor fouled off. Finally got a breaking ball, it looked like. And Trevor opens up the game with a big 6-run bottom of the second inning, thanks to a 3-run home run.
There's a lot of scoring.
I'll tell you what. I think those guys are lifting weights down there.
Think so?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Mm.
I mean, Plouffe looks bigger to me for the last couple of years. I mean, he just looks like a different guy to me.
Maybe he's eating a lot more than he was before. You know, when you get older, you get fatter usually.
Don't I know that? I know for a fact.
Me too.
But I think that team has started to believe in itself for real. I mean, they're starting to get things done, even like what you and I talked about before we got on the show, when things aren't even going very well.
They're
getting it done. It's ugly, but you take the win. You always take the win. They always figure a way to pick up that ball bat.
That damn ball bat.
They pick up the ball bat.
It seems like the Minnesota Twins always have just one monstrous inning. They were 4-1 last week. Yeah. They're, I believe, top 10 now in the latest Major League Baseball power rankings. They're 26-18, eight games above 500. Where the heck did these guys come from?
That?
Where did they come from? They're starting pitching. Their ERAs are still not very good in the fives. Phil Hughes not helping the team at all. Got a massive amount of money in the offseason. And all of a sudden, you see two guys by the name of Ricky Nolasco's 5-1. Now he still has a 5 ERA. Kyle Gibson's pretty good. Why are you flexing like that?
Because Marsh Hallberg is creepy.
Like,
I think he's a creepy son of a... You know what Marsh is? He sneaks up on you, and he just takes the world by storm, and that's a sleeper hold right there. That's a sleeper. I think he's left something, and he can't find it, and I hit it, so he won't ever find
it. That's funny.
He left... Three or four heirloom tomatoes.
Marsh Hallberg, Mark Wahlberg, the two very similar, so I call them Marshy Marsh and the Funky Bunch.
What? What's wrong with you?
Get it?
Marsh is wet, too, by the way. He's the best-dressed man, perhaps, in Dinky Town, but he's wet right now. What happened?
I think he's losing his phone. I think he's lost his phone.
For gosh sakes.
I'm just so frazzled.
What the hell? Let's find it.
I will. It's right out my car.
I'm going to find it.
Goodbye.
All right. He just took off.
It was nice of him to come in here and
He tried to put you to death. It's not funny.
I thought it was hilarious.
Man, it's not funny at all. I should tell you about the time Stussy tried to do it. That didn't go well.
No, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I had to report to the doctor.
Doesn't seem like the brightest bulb in the shed.
He's not exactly, you know, he's not going to discover cold fusion anytime soon.
Missed you on Saturday night. We did a new show on Saturdays from 5 to 7 before the St. Paul Saints. It was weird because I was driving down there going, how am I going to do this radio show without the superstar Mike Morris, the guy that I love to death?
Well, it's difficult. I love you, too.
And,
we're very close.
Yeah, and even though you tell me you hate me to my face all the time.
You know what? That's another way of me just telling you, you mean an awful lot to me. And that, I mean, when I stop saying that kind of stuff,
obviously.
You need to really take notice.
People call me and say, "Are you and Mike okay?" And I say, "What do you mean?" he said he hated you on the radio today, and he sounded serious.
Well,
I said, "Well, I know some people that he hates that he doesn't tell that he hates. And so I take that as a term of endearment. So anyway,
it actually is.
Driving out of CHS Field on Saturday. It's kind of icky outside. It wasn't raining, but it looked like it could have rained any second.
What a place.
And I thought, what the heck am I going to do without the superstar Mike Morris? Because you are my life every single day.
Ah.
And because you're crazy.
Yep.
Let's just put it together, put the pieces together. You are out of your freaking mind.
Well.
And you're so fun to work with every single day.
I
get to the St. Paul Saints. I watch a little batting practice, and I thought, this is probably going to be, not that fun of a show. It's going to be dry because Sean Aronson's a nice guy, funny guy, all these things, but he's not.
He is a nice guy.
He's not you.
I met him down there. Yep.
And so he comes out. He goes, I'll be right down in 5 minutes. I was down there watching batting practice, sitting in one of the yellow chairs, and he comes walking down. And damn if he didn't answer my question. He's wearing this bright Hawaiian t-shirt with a coconut bra on.
Well, there you go.
For support.
See?
I was like, oh, well, this
There's
is
no
be
trouble.
Just fine.
Easy transition.
I've never seen you wear a coconut bra because I think you would need something. You probably need some more support because you got some more going on up top here.
Man jugs on me.
But yeah, Sean Aronson, heck of a guy,
seen.
A lot of fun. And today he's on a 14-hour ride to, I want to say it's Armadillo, Texas, where the St. Paul Saints are playing this week. 14 hours, they take a bus.
They're busing?
Yeah.
Oh, it'll take more than 14 hours. I bet money. To Texas?
Straight trip. I think they have two bus drivers.
Half of Minnesota, all of Iowa, Missouri and Arkansas. Yeah. Ew, my. Yeah, that's going to be way more than 14 hours.
You gave away a car yesterday at Mystic Lake?
Gave away a car at Mystic Lake. A beautiful 2015 Dodge Charger.
What color was it?
It was red, fire engine red. Yeah, it was beautiful, beautiful car. It was decked out, all the bells and whistles. Gave it away, man. Just Wheel of Fortune style, too. And I was kind of like
Charger?
Yeah. Nice cars.
So not a Challenger, a Charger.
Charger.
So it's not the Camaro. It's like the
correct. It's Dodge. It's not Chevy.
No, I know, but it's not. It's not the sports car. It's the sedan sports car that they have.
I think they do make a sedan. I don't believe the one that I gave away yesterday was a sedan, though. I think it was two-door.
Ouch.
I think so.
I don't think they make two-door.
But I think they do. If it was a sedan, it was a beautiful car regardless.
Sure, was it a Challenger?
No, it was Charger. Hmm. Yeah, for sure. My dad sold both.
Yeah.
Challengers and Chargers and Cudas back in the day. That freaking Hellcat now. Let me just tell you something about the Hellcat. 707 horsepower.
Woo!
Look out. I mean, son of a bitch. You can fly in one of those.
Yeah, I would imagine.
You can get going so fast, it's more impressive to see if you can come down from 200 miles an hour to 65 and still beat the, get under the speed limit before the cop
pulls
you over.
I like it. I'd like you to buy me one of those, please. That'd be great. Next time you give it away, just draw my name.
Could have done it.
Could have actually done that.
I thought we were better friends than that. Well, I didn't. If you'd shown up,
I was there.
You'd taken
spirit.
A selfie. You had to take a picture with me in the car, and then enter your name, and then enter the picture that we took together on some form of social media.
That's
so Facebook, Twitter and or
Instagram.
Instagram would have been the third one. You're right. And so people were doing that left and right. I've never taken so many. I don't do selfies. I had to take selfies all day yesterday. Well, anyway, nice little gal won the car. A choice to either take the car, they pay for the taxes, everything. The casino takes care of the taxes on this car, listed at $35,000. And or the second option, $25,000 cash, you walk.
Why would you not take the car? I mean, it's worth more money, right? You could immediately
depreciates as soon as you turn the key. Well, I mean, you got insurance. I mean, if you already have a car,
sure.
You have insurance every month.
But who has a car newer than a brand new car? Nobody does, right?
Good point.
So you take it. If you don't really like it, then go back and sell it someplace else.
You could do
You're still probably going to get more than $25,000.
I don't think you would.
I mean, you could put it on Craigslist immediately. For $32,000 or something like
that.
With 3 miles on it.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. They depreciate pretty quickly.
So the big story of the day, started getting little messages on my phone yesterday. Adrian Peterson not going to show up to OTAs today. We're going to talk about that quite a bit this afternoon. Take your calls as well. And then this morning, the fact is he's considering retirement according to his agent, Ben Dogra.
Okay.
Because he's doing everything he possibly can do to get out of playing for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep.
He, Back in December, he said, quote, I've considered retiring from the NFL. I still made $8 million this year. I've thought about getting back into the real estate business. I'm already in. That's something I've been interested in, something I'm involved in. Thought about getting back into that. I thought about going after the Olympics or, you know, you only live once. It might be time for me to pursue that as well. I love playing football, don't get me wrong, but this situation is deeper than that. For me, it's like, why should I continue to be part of an organization or a business that handles players the way they do? I ask myself that same question every single day.
It's just kind of, yeah, me too.
Making money off the field anyway, why not continue to pursue that, the Olympic dream, and pursue other dreams and hang up the cleats? I say go for it.
Well, I say have at it. I mean, you're a very talented athlete.
This is what I say.
I don't know exactly what he's talking about Olympic-wise. I don't know what he would do. Where he would be world-class speed, or, I mean, you could do a bobsled thing like Herschel did.
How'd that work out for him?
Not good.
What about a decathlon like Bruce Transgender?
No.
What do you mean no?
He couldn't do it.
Why not?
Because it takes years and years and years to learn those 10 events.
Hmm.
I don't think anytime soon will he be going over like an 18-foot high bar with a pole vault. He won't be pole vaulting anytime soon.
651-989-9105. What Olympic event could Adrian Peterson actually medal in, or even get past the qualifying rounds to get to the actual Olympic events?
They run the 100 and the 200, but
he's not fast enough.
He's not going to beat Usain
Bolt. No, he's not.
Not going to beat him to medal. I mean, he couldn't do it in the shot.
Figure skating?
Brian, he could maybe. I don't know. I don't know if he can skate or not. Brian Robinson, by the way, 68-foot shot putter.
Damn.
I mean, that's pretty good. I don't think he could. I don't know what he's talking about. Even a medley relay. I don't know how he would pull it off. I really don't.
Radio roulette?
I suppose he could do a relay, like a 400, like everyone runs a 110.
Sure. You want to try radio roulette?
Yeah, but go ahead and pull one up.
I-105, the ticket. Who's this?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Lisa, what up, man?
So Amarillo is 16 hours from here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm from.
Amarillo. Oh. What did I say? Armadillo?
Yeah, you did.
Armadillo?
That's okay. It's in the panhandle.
An armadillo is an animal. It is not a city in Texas.
Correct. Okay.
Amarillo.
Amarillo by morning.
Yep, George Strait.
Gosh.
You guys are awesome. Love you guys.
No, I love
you. That's nice. That's really nice.
No, stop it.
You don't even know me.
You don't even know me.
How do you know we don't know you?
You guys are freaking awesome.
Thank you.
I love you.
Bye, guys.
Bye. I knew it was more than 14 hours.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
What's going on?
Adrian Peterson would gold medal and set the world record in whining.
Oh, well.
See? Yeah. Did you create the event? I think he's in.
Yes.
I mean, I think he automatically qualifies.
Pretty good at it.
I just don't understand how a guy like Adrian Peterson can come out and say, I just don't, it's deeper than just coming back and playing for this team. It's having to deal with a team that handled, you know, one of its players the way they did me. And I don't understand. I played 13 years and I still don't understand what he's talking about. If you act like he's acted, if you do things that he's done, it's going to cost you. You have to protect your career. And I don't get it. He's mad at this team for the way they treated him. I remember them paying him handsomely, like $8 million that he was just bragging about.
For not doing anything. I also remember and have a hard time getting over the fact that he used a wooden switch to beat his 4-year-old son. And then blame us. And then blame us for not treating him correctly.
Getting $8 million to commute child abuse is pretty awesome. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That's
pretty good,
awesome.
Pretty good pay. I understand what you're saying. And
it's ridiculous.
If he was worried about if he's that sensitive about the way they handled him, maybe he should ask his son what he thinks about the way dad handled him.
Well, the pictures all over the interwebs this morning were that Adrian Peterson took his family to Disney World in Florida over the weekend. He was wearing what they call a wife beater.
Yep.
At Disney World.
Yep.
With a mouth so full of chew, he could not close it. And taking pictures with kids and taking pictures with people that obviously, you know, that it's Adrian Peterson. They
What's wrong with him?
Take pictures with him. And he's got this just mouthful of chaw.
What the hell?
What's going on?
Weirdo.
Heck of a show today. We're going to get more into the Adrian Peterson deal. He's not at OTAs today.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
The rest of the team. Adrian Peterson threatening to retire. We'll talk to Jim Rich, Minnesota Twins baseball, Mike Berardino. Your favorite sport, your favorite team. You just came in today screaming about how much you love the Twins. That was interesting.
They're whooping some ass. How many runs? Six runs in two innings?
One inning.
That's right. In 1.2 outs.
Seven runs, right?
Yeah, I just saw that.
Yeah. Tom Schreier from 105theticket.com, our Cold Omaha writing team, also talks. Twins can begin to create believers on current homestand. So far, they're 1-0 against the Boston Red Sox. Adrian Peterson. We'll talk about that a lot today and a couple of Mike's breaks sprinkled in there as well.
I hope you have some good things planned. Trust me.
I
mean, in God we trust, and in Star we trust. Trust me, we're going to come on back, and we're going to talk the talk about, wow, Okafor or Towns. I've been listening, been watching the news, been picking up the paper. I'm on that interweb thing, too.
The interwebs?
The interweb.
The WWW, World Wide Web.
Yes.
Go to Twitter, retweet for Towns, favorite for Okafor. We want to know who you think that the Minnesota Timberwolves should draft coming up June 25th, less than 1 month away. Retweet for Towns, favorite for Okafor. I'm going to retweet that, son of a bitch. We'll talk about Timberwolves and who they should draft.
Nice. Radioactive Sports. Come on back.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
Coach K said, if you're not in the paint, don't shoot, son.
Look at Okafor.
He is a load. I said affectionately, there's such a great rhythm to his movements, the motion.
Notre Dame lead. Kentucky trying to answer here. Back to the big man. Towns. Rough it up. August, a foul, and it counts! Carl Anthony Towns, a chance at three.
And one. Nugent. I'm so sure this isn't from the Gamboy Dukes. No, it's not. It's just straight up Ted Nugent right here. But I like it. Just what the doctor ordered, too. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
For the Ted Nugent. It got me an overdose of rock and roll is what I got. Okafor or Towns. I don't know what to say anymore. I know what
do
I would. I'm not going to change mine, and you already know it. But we'll go through it again for the people who haven't heard over the last week or so. You and I expounding upon who we would favor with this number one selection overall. But the flip thing, the guy who's actually going to get to have the say, I don't know if he sees it our way. I'm just saying. My opinion does not change.
I feel like we have to talk about it every single day in hopes of maybe swaying Flip Saunders a little bit. And again, going over the fact that I don't know if he's smoke screening or if he really is taking a Jahlil Okafor. We can't trust Dick Springsteen before the Minnesota Vikings draft. Why would we be able to trust Flip Saunders right now? Why would Flip Saunders go out and say, you know what? This is the guy that I like. This is the guy that I'm taking. They do have the number one overall draft pick, which is the Minnesota Vikings obviously haven't had for a long time. But when you have the number one draft pick, you are constantly trying to drum up some sort of trade scenario because the Timberwolves could use any asset they could possibly get.
No question.
So,
if they mess around with this, or if he's playing a little game with one of the other two teams lower in trade, blah, 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 blah. He wants to go back and package something together. We've talked about this before, putting two or three draft choices together, you know, position upward, get Tyus Jones. Look, I love the idea. Not that much. I don't love it that much. Just don't mess up. Whatever you do, make sure you get the right guy at number one.
Something bad is going to happen if the Minnesota Timberwolves take D'Angelo Russell number one overall. I will be furious.
Yeah, I don't think too many.
Sorry, a demon just came out of my body.
Yeah. I don't think that would be.
I would be just livid. Granted, yeah. I think he may be a great point guard in the near future. D'Angelo Russell. We don't need one right now. He's got a beautiful shot. I think shooting over 40%.
He's a
in
player
in college. He's great. I would love him if we needed a guard. D'Angelo Russell. Boom. Would love to have him on the team. Don't need a guard. You saw over the weekend and on the internet, Zach LaVine is trying to make his jumping ability
his vertical.
Wants it to be more than 44 inches. He's not satisfied with 44 inches. He's catching alley-oops from footballs and jamming them home on videos you can find all over the interwebs. And he's doing that all weekend. So you have guys that run and gun and dunk and shoot and do all of these things. You don't need another guard. And why would you like, or why would you feel like you need a classic big man, a 6'11" guy that doesn't move very well when the rest of your team are running up and down the court? We saw it during the NCAA March Madness tournament. The Duke Blue Devils, bunch of smaller guys, usually athletic, running up and down the court, doing whatever it takes. And then like a couple, 30, 40 seconds later, here comes Jahlil Okafor just kind of moseying back down to the offensive side. And you heard there on the clip at the beginning, it was on CBS. Coach K from Duke told Jahlil Okafor, don't shoot anywhere outside of the paint. And you better hope he doesn't get fouled either, too, coming down the end of a ball game because he can't hit a free throw.
That's not really good range if you can't get out of the paint. Stay in the paint. We're safe. And don't camp out there for 3 seconds. That's a violation. I've been told, Jerry Zagoda said that he had a great bank shot off the glass. He uses the glass well.
Sure.
Okafor. Yeah. But from outside the paint, I think he was suggesting 12 feet or so.
I
don't know.
No.
That would be very Tim Duncan-like.
Okafor, your classic big man, slow, very slow, but big, pretty decent grabbing rebounds, pretty decent with his back to the basket. He's got a bunch of, low post moves. His hands are massive. They're like catcher's mitts on each side.
Yeah. Nifty passer.
But when it comes to today's NBA, you don't see those kind of guys anymore.
It is kind of a rarity. It really is. I mean, Cat is more of the hybrid than I think it's become for the big man. Someone who can run. Play both sides, never seems to get tired, shoots free throws, rebounds, plays defense. I mean, that's...
But he can also hit a three if you need him to. I mean, that's the thing.
You
like
talked about him shooting against...
a guy by the name of Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, that guy. Was he the rookie of the year? I think he was.
Yeah.
He sounds impressive. I've seen a couple, you know, nice highlight reels of Carl Anthony Towns. For me, I think that's the guy. And... I would swear that I think Flip is going to go the other way. Because he just...
Okafor?
He is obsessed by him.
Why?
He's obsessed by
him. Why do you think he is?
Everyone seems to be.
There are
a lot of people that are. There are a lot of people that love Okafor, that he's a generational, once-in-a-lifetime sort of kid. Not now. They're talking about down the road, like 2-3 years, he's going to be that next whatever. Well, are they talking about Elijah one? Are they talking about, you know, what style would he be? I mean, Duncan is not that guy. I mean, they want this kid to be the next big, like a center, like a big man.
Duncan's won more, I want to say, MVPs, Defensive Player of the Years, and World Championships than Kobe Bryant has. And the Kobe Bryant in this generation is the standard.
But he's a power forward. He's not a center. He's straight up center, and that's what they think this kid is going to be. They think that Okafor is going to be that guy in the paint. Certainly not Shaq. You know, who would be a big guy? They compare him to
who are you talking about? Jahlil Okafor.
I mean, they compare him to Duncan Jefferson. And Al Jefferson.
I don't want Al Jefferson on the team anymore. We had Al Jefferson here once. It didn't work because he was clogging up the offense.
Yeah.
And we have a far more aggressive, talented, athletic team now than we ever did back in the Al Jefferson days.
Have you heard what I'm talking about, though?
Yes.
They are talking about Okafor I don't know if I've heard it from any different from anyone else.
Because everybody when I say they and I lump everybody into one category, everybody, hence your they, says that Carl Anthony Towns should be the hands down, no thoughts, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, number one overall consensus pick. Because he is so talented.
I hear that. But it's almost an overwhelming thing that I've caught about Okafor. The exact opposite is that this guy is off the charts. He's that next great big man. No question. I haven't heard anyone talk any higher of a basketball player in the last 10, 15 years, a big man coming out. You can take the Greg Oden and all those guys. This one, they are absolutely, you know, he is the Andrew Luck prospect.
Okafor.
That's the way they talk about him being no-brainer, no risk. He's going to be that guy. Just like Andrew Luck out of Stanford.
Mm.
Just, he is made to play the game. He will play the game at a very high level someday.
If he wants to, though, that's the thing. If he wants to play the game, here's what Flip Saunders said. We're going to get a great piece. There are a lot of directions we can go. Come on, stop it. There are two directions. This gives us flexibility. We don't know who we're going to pick.
Well,
we're going to evaluate these guys and take whoever the best player available is, regardless of position. Make no mistake about it. The two best players are Karl-Anthony Towns and Jahlil Okafor.
Well, like I said, and you, I know you've heard that a lot of people, here locally at least, say that Flip Saunders is absolutely infatuated with Okafor. And I love the other guy. I definitely do like Towns. I like him better than Okafor.
Dreadful free throw percent shooting. He's 51%. A step behind on defense.
Where is Town as far as free throw?
Free percentage? Throw shooting? He makes them all. Every single one of them. He shoots it. He makes it.
Okay.
No, I think he's in the 80s percent.
I think he's a well-rounded player. And he's someone with upside. I mean, I think Towns has a great upside.
Yes.
Add a little more beef to that frame. He can carry a lot more, a good weight and not get too crazy. You don't have to go crazy with the guy, but just make him a little more NBA ready. Might take a year.
So it's a bit more of a gamble for Karl-Anthony Towns, just because everybody's banking on his enormously high ceiling on offense, his upside on offense. Everybody talks about Jahlil Okafor being already a solid 20 points. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how people say he's going to average 20 points a game and 10 rebounds a game when he didn't even average that in college. But Karl-Anthony Towns only played 21 minutes a game for the almost undefeated Kentucky Wildcats, who were so deep. You got to remember they had Willie Cauley-Stein too.
Yeah.
10.3 points, 6.7 rebounds a game, 20 minutes a game.
He was lights out against Notre Dame.
Yes!
He had a great game against Notre Dame, and Notre Dame they were putting the heat on everybody. I think they surprised a lot of people.
He played a great role in the platoon offense in Kentucky, but it almost didn't give him the spotlight that Jahlil Okafor got, because for Duke, there was absolutely no bench. They didn't have any depth whatsoever. So he was out on the court constantly, unless he was in foul trouble, or the fact that he was double-teamed all the time down the stretch by Utah, and I want to say West Virginia. Frank Kaminsky handled him in the national championship game to shut him down. Our guy Tyus Jones took over, got the most outstanding player of the game award.
And the tournament. And the other freshman. I mean, I think they do have decent depth because the two freshman guards.
Yep. But that's it.
Yeah.
That's all they have. There's nobody there to rest Jahlil Okafor on Duke. I don't know, man. It's just
I was disappointed in what I thought was going to be this lights out player, Jahlil Okafor, for the championship game against Wisconsin. I just thought he played a very a careless game. He's just not using his head. Got in foul trouble early. Tried to force it. Just tried to force everything. I don't know. That's a big moment, a big stage. What do the best ones do? I mean, Tyus Jones said, let's dance.
Yeah.
You know. And he did.
Let's win this ball game.
I mean, that's the way he took it. And he put it on his shoulders and he shot the lights out of it. And people had their hands in his face the whole time.
Tomorrow we're going to talk to, and I've been trying to get him on the last couple of days, Zach Harper from CBS Sports. He's the guy we talked to. He is a blogger for A Wolf Among Wolves, lives in Miami. He's the guy we talked to a lot when LeBron James and the whole thing going back to Cleveland and the trade with Kevin Love, and he's a big Timberwolves fan. So we'll talk to him tomorrow about who he likes, Towns or Okafor.
That'll be interesting. I hope that you don't spend like half an hour after you get a hold of him trying to get him on the show, trying to feed him information that you think he should know. We want to hear it verbatim from him without your influence.
Shut up.
People wonder why I don't come over there and just drill you.
I know.
I would love to. I'm kidding. Four and a half questions. You guys know the drill. Four questions. I answer them brilliantly. And then I stammer and stagger all over the half question. That's normally how that goes. And we're going to do that next.
That's right.
It's 4:30. We're back in the house. Hope you all had a safe Memorial Day. Ben Holson and myself off doing individual sort of isolated things, gigs. You're over at CHS.
Yeah.
The new Saints Digs. I was at Mystic Lake. Gave away a beautiful car. $35,000 Dodge Charger. Look out. It was beautiful. We have 4.5 questions. That's how we roll at 4:30. Take it away.
All right. Question number one. The Twins have cracked the top 10 in the latest baseball power rankings, a record of 26-18. And after going 4-1 last week, the Twins ranked ninth now in all of baseball. 19-8 in their last 27 games. They haven't lost a series to anyone other than the Detroit Tigers during that span. They were all without free agent pitcher Irvin Santana, mind you, and the team basically the same team that's lost 90 games the last couple of years. The two big additions, obviously, the two big differences are manager Paul Molitor and Torrey Hunter. Does this fast start prove to you that the team needed a different voice in the clubhouse, or is their second place record so far in the AL just a tease?
I think it's kind of a combination. I mean,
think it's a tease
with everybody else sort of not having the kind of year they expected to have, and the Twins coming out and just I think kind of surprising themselves. And I definitely think that Molitor and the decision to go with another voice in the clubhouse is what they left it at when Gardy stepped down. They said another voice. We just need another voice in the club. Well, it's Paul Molitor. They went out and acquired another voice, and that's Torrey Hunter. Sort of a quiet lead by example guy. I guess he's not really doing or saying that much in the locker room right now.
He's just maybe leading off by the field. Example.
That's what I said. Yeah, and I think that's what he does very well. And they claim that the Dozier is really good and the Plouf is pretty good in the locker room now. So they have a nucleus of something that it's definitely different. You can feel it. You can feel it
for sure. I think that clip that we played at the beginning of the show when the Twins scored 6 runs in the second inning yesterday. That where you hear Dick Bremer from FSN going, and they're setting another runner. My God, they did the same thing with a 3-run single that Joe Mauer hit last weekend.
Yep.
It's hard to score 3 runs on a single, and they did it. And so I think a lot of it has to do with, and I like manager Ron Gardner. He brought the Twins to a lot of American League Central Division titles. But I think when you're hearing the manager, the guy that's 60 years old in the clubhouse saying, hey, JoJo, how you feeling today, JoJo? Or all these other different silly pet names that he had for everybody, which was ridiculous.
Pet names.
Instead of JoJo, I would say Momo. Mau Mau.
Yeah.
Mau Mau. But, I mean, there's no more. I mean, granted, Paul Molitor is a former player, and so he gets what the day-to-day activities are. But he's not babying these guys. Granted, you guys are making multi-millions of dollars a year to play a child's game and to have fun doing it. But there have to be rules and regulations, and you have to hold people to a higher standard. And I think that's what Paul Molitor is doing, and I think that's why the Twins have kind of changed their losing ways into winning ways, despite not even being that good. They keep saying that, and I know it sounds ridiculous because they're 26-18, they're second in the AL Central, and they're winning a lot of games, and they're winning almost every single series unless they play the Detroit Tigers. But this is not a very good baseball team.
The pitching would not suggest that it's a great baseball team. But the other guys are definitely, carrying their own water. And that's why they're doing it collectively. They're managing. And I think that it's definitely Paul Molitor. I think after they got past the 1-6 start, the hiccups from whatever that was when they broke, spring training camp, things have changed. I mean, really changed. And, we've talked about it already. I think one of the Cold Omaha writers actually wrote about the Tuesday that was off in between as they moved back to the Twin Cities and got started. Was Torrey Hunter just saying, we just need to go home and relax, get out of your bags, have a steak, you know, that deal.
Mm.
And come back ready to play baseball. Like, don't go and pout. Like, it's a long season. I'll be darned. I mean, it really has not been the same since. But it's those guys took a drubbing for about 6 or 7 straight games. The Royals just came in here and handed us our ass on opening weekend.
Yeah, it was silly. It's interesting. We'll talk to Mike Berardino, Hardball, coming up at 5:30 to get more in depth. And I wonder what his reaction is going to be when I tell him the Twins are winning. They're amazing, but they're terrible. Question two. The Vikings started OTAs today. Nobody ever wins championships in May, but it is important for team chemistry as far as all the talking heads say. We talked about the rookies that we expect to make first-team rotations. But how about safety Anthony Harris?
What about him? What about him?
Let me go on. Yeah. Bleacher Report says he'll be the Vikings surprise rookie gem.
Oh.
Anthony Harris, undrafted rookie. I thought, who the heck is Anthony Harris? And then I looked, okay. Bleacher Report saying, quote, perhaps the most well-rounded prospect who wasn't drafted and has the skill set to be an immediate contributor if given the chance. Harris is coming off shoulder surgery. Will Harris make the team, become a starter, or will we never hear about him again? Kind of like Babatunde Gagagabadushkis.
All I can say is good luck. I mean, because we've got Mays in here. We've got he can play.
Robert Blanton, who you like a lot, but I just don't think that
I don't see it
liking that much.
I don't get it. But if someone has an inside scoop on a kid that they've been watching, certainly I don't know who this kid is. I mean, if he can play, he can play. Let's find out. Let's just put a helmet on. Go down to Mankato, lock and load. Now, those are called the proving grounds down there. I mean, maybe he was a great player in college. Yeah, where someone would come up with that particular name being the gem of the draft. Or
the most surprised gem.
Surprised. I guess it could be because everyone else is really kind of real deal.
Yeah. Question number three, Bleacher Report again deciphered every team's most overrated and underrated players. Before I tell you who they chose for the Minnesota Vikings, who would you say is the Vikings' most overrated and then underrated player?
The name that just kind of pops out at me is Cordarrelle Patterson for overrated.
Okay.
The most underrated, I've got my favorites. I'd start off with Audie Cole. I'd go with Joe Banyard. I'd go with some unsung heroes that we don't hear about or see that often that have shown me. I think they can play. I don't know why. Especially Audie Cole. I don't understand that one, but it's been like that with two coaching staff, so there must be something. I don't know what that
Every time he gets on the field, though, he's amazing.
He's amazing. He's a game day player.
Okay, so the
How about you?
For me, the overrated player,
Mike Wallace.
Yeah, I would say right now it would have to be, I like your Cordarrelle Patterson. Although he took his drubbing last year. Mike
sure
Wallace,
did.
I just don't feel like Mike Wallace is going to be everything that all the hype that's been spattered around the media since the Minnesota Vikings traded a fifth-round draft pick for him before the draft. Overrated player. I hate to say Brian Robinson because I know he works his tail off.
Yeah. I don't think he's overrated by any means. I don't think anyone's like singing praises about him.
Mm-mm.
So I don't think he's overrated. But I think Matt Khalil has had his moments of being.
Bleacher Report said Matt Khalil was the most overrated player in the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
So I'd say Matt Khalil,
yeah.
Cordarrelle Patterson. When it comes to underrated player, Bleacher Report said Tom Johnson.
Oh, good pick. That's a good pick. I wish I'd thought of that. That's a pretty damn good pickup. Guy that just comes in, journeyman, 6.5 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And he was tased and still lived to tell the story.
And pepper sprayed.
And pepper sprayed,
time.
I think.
Because I don't think the taser worked right away. Question four, Texas A&M transfer. Devontae Fitzgerald has committed to the U's men's basketball team, and he's going to, he'll provide some depth and muscle under the basket after sitting out next season due to NCAA rules, transferring rules. He'll play out his final 2 years of eligibility as a Gopher after that. Are you surprised at the rapid pace that Coach Pitino has worked to get an aggressive recruiting class in here to rebuild this program this offseason? Because it seems like every other day there's some sort of transfer or he's got a commitment from this 3-star or 4-star recruit. And there's a lot of excitement, I think, heading into next season. Obviously, it takes more than a season to rebuild a program, but really, Pitino's got all his guys in there. So now it's not, he's still playing with Clem Haskins' guys.
Right.
Not Clem Haskins, Tubby
Clem.
Smith. You know what I mean?
I do.
But same thing.
Yeah. Well, he's had his chance now. He's gone out there to pretend with smoke and mirrors that he's being sought after by taking an interview or two, one from Alabama that we know about. He took the Alabama interview, or did he get close to going down there and not
I don't remember
going?
What it
I think
was.
His father said he was definitely serious about going down now. So he made that look that way, I think, on purpose. And I think he has to come back. And, you know, he's going to have to earn stripes. He's going to have to earn his stripes. And these kids, the ones that he's made, compiled over the last three seasons, they're going to have to win that over for him. And he won't have any excuses or any way of backing out.
I think it's like a double-edged sword, though, at the same time, where he's raising his, you know, his name up into the lights by saying, okay, I'm one of the most sought-after coaches in college basketball. This school wants me, that school wants me, that school wants me. My last name is Pitino.
I think that's what they want.
And so that raises his game to, so he's more well-known to these kids, obviously. But then at the same time, they're like, okay, well, if you're taking all these interviews here, why would I necessarily want to go to Minnesota? If you're the reason I'm going to Minnesota and you're not going to be there very long.
Yeah.
So it could do good and bad.
Of course it could. I mean, with smoke and mirrors again, let's use my dad's name and kind of throw the Pitino name out there. And these kids are kind of liking that. Couldn't go to Kentucky, but look at me now. I can play here at the University of Minnesota and same kind of coaching. No. That's the son. He hasn't earned anything yet. He's got a long ways to go. I'm not saying he can't do it. And there's a lot that can be said for having your own recruits in that play your style, that believe in you. You've stopped off at, probably not him, but he's probably done some recruiting trips. I'm not going to say he stopped off at every parent's house and had a talk, but he wants the kids that are there now.
But you like him here at the University of Minnesota, and there's probably no other choice that you'd rather have than
I couldn't agree with you Pitino. More. I think I want him to stick here because it takes time. 3, 4, 5 years, and then finally, it's Big Ten basketball. It's not going to be an easy conference. It's just like our football team. We've been up against it for a long time, and Jerry Kill finally answered a few things and got it done.
4.5 questions at 4:30. Every day I ask you 4 questions, and here comes the halfy, the word association. There's so many questions about Adrian Peterson, which we'll talk about next, and take your phone calls at 651-989-9105. There were a couple of questions I wanted to ask you. So what was... Maybe we'll do 5 questions, and there'll be 2 halfies here. What was your one-word response when you initially saw Adrian Peterson and his wife beater and a mouthful of chew with his family at Disney World over the weekend?
Well, when I saw the picture, I thought, spoiled. Not his kids. Him. Because he's not here at OTAs. Because he gets paid top dollar more so than any running back in the league. And he's at Disneyland or Disney World.
Who wears a wife beater with a mouthful of chew at Disney World?
But he's...
I think douchebag.
He's got an attitude.
Who is this guy growing in? I mean, who does he think he is? My second question for the word association is, over the weekend, Adrian Peterson, boom, we get this note sent to our phones. Adrian Peterson contemplating retirement in hopes of getting away from the Minnesota Vikings, in hopes that they'll trade him because they don't want to lose him for nothing. One word, initial reaction to a possible Adrian Peterson retirement?
I have 2 words, I guess. I guess I have 2. Can I get by with 2?
Sure, yeah, let it rip.
The first one is good. The second one is riddance.
Yeah, amen, brother.
I can't help it. I don't feel for him anymore. I used to. I used to think he was the best thing that ever came in here and played football. And quite frankly, he was all that. I'm disappointed in the guy. Maybe disappointment. Because he doesn't have to be at OTAs. It'd sure be nice for him to come back and reattach himself to the squad after the kind of season he had last year. But I don't know.
But not only is he sitting at an OTAs, now is Agent Ben Dogra is saying a possible retirement. I mean, we're going to talk about all
pouting.
This. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty, and we're going to talk about it. And you're more than welcome to join the conversation at 1-989-9105 because it's going to get pretty heated with Adrian Peterson. I know a lot of people are fed up with the jicky-jackedness, as you like to call it.
Yeah, he's being slappy.
Because it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I think you're absolutely right. Go ahead and retire. Screw off. I don't care if the Minnesota Vikings don't get anything in return, but you're not going anywhere else. You're not going to bully your way out of the Minnesota Vikings organization. Unless the Vikings can get some unbelievable trade in return, which obviously isn't the case, or they would have done it before the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Go ahead and retire.
I guess they still could.
Slap nut.
Slappy. Go ahead and just keep the beater on and hit Disneyland next, just the next coast, and then rent a camel and throw a party at your house back in Texas. Because he's got a lot of money. That's a lot of money to get the camel. I've tried to do it myself. I don't have enough money. Adrian Peterson is up next. Give us a call, 651-989-9105. You can debate whether or not he's making a good move, a bad move, or indifferent in not reporting for OTAs. We'll do that next.
You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
you know, retweet for if you want this, or a favorite if you want that.
Right on. Good song. I like Molly Hatchet.
Thank you. Retweet if you want the Timberwolves to draft Carl Anthony Towns. Favorite if you want Jahlil Okafor. So far, it is 15-4.
15-4 in
favor of Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, okay.
I told Sean Aronson, my afternoon friend guy on Saturdays before the St. Paul Saints games live from CHS Field, because I feel like every single day that I'm on the radio, I have to mention Carl Anthony Towns and why he'd be a better choice than Jahlil Okafor, and I think that it's working. So you retweeted and favorited.
I did indeed.
Well, that means you want Jahlil Okafor and Carl Anthony Towns? It's impossible, almost.
I just wanted to put the awareness out there for other people to do it. People already know where I stand because of what I've said already on air. But I'll go in there and I will absolutely cast my vote as well. But I just put it out there for the awareness.
Okay.
Get on the show, listen to the show, and give us your thoughts. Call us, for gosh sakes. Can we play roulette or not?
Yeah, we can play Russian.
Let's go roulette.
Radio roulette.
Huh?
We can play radio roulette, sure.
Son of a bitch. Let's do that.
Okay.
Where the question was Adrian Peterson.
Yep.
He's not checking in. Here's what, if you want to count that year, 7 or 8 year NFL veteran.
Mm-hmm.
OTAs, at least if my understanding is correct, they're voluntary. They are not mandatory.
But he has a $250,000 bonus that if he goes to 90% of the OTAs, he can get that extra $250,000, which he doesn't seem to be too concerned with.
I don't think he is. I think you're right. But
still $250,000.
In principle, for sitting out an entire year, to come back in and to reestablish yourself and your leadership and who you are and what you are to some of these, there are a lot of new players now.
He doesn't want to be here.
Okay, well, there you have it. What a jackass. Well, play some roulette. Let's go. I mean, Zach, are you awake over there? Did you hold him? Did you put him on hold? If I have to come over there, young man, and turn you wrong side out, you look at me when I'm talking to you. All right.
Do you blame Adrian Peterson for not wanting to be here? I mean,
I don't. I just know.
You don't blame him for not wanting to be here. You think he has every right to be playing this silly game of possible retirement, not coming to OTAs?
There's two parts of this.
Because most players stick together. Most NFL players are sticking with Adrian Peterson, saying when it comes to business, he has every right to do what he thinks is best for him, because the NFL, the commissioner Roger Goodell, the football team, coaches, general managers will screw you every possible way they can possibly get you once you're not very good at playing your position anymore. So get what you think you can deserve right now and do whatever it takes to do that.
Well,
whereas fans or people in the media were like, hey, dumbass, the Vikings paid you $8 million a year after you were in legal trouble on the commissioner's exempt list.
But
and
he views that
court
as being completely and totally mishandled.
Idiot. Then he's an idiot.
He doesn't see it that way, which is ridiculous, because I don't think we would want our guy out there on the street instead of having the best running back in football returning. And we probably tried everything. In fact, we did. We wanted him back on the field. Against New England, they were going to put him back out there. And then corporate America had something to say.
Radisson had something to say.
Well, okay. And others to follow, right?
If they didn't pull him,
okay,
probably.
Okay, so that was pretty
quick. I'm on Adrian Peterson's side, just playing devil's advocate for this here. Why did they put him on the commissioner's exempt list and turn it over to the NFL instead of saying, all right, here's the deal. NFL, you can do whatever it is that you think that you want to do with Adrian Peterson, but for right now, we're not going to ask to put him on the commissioner's exempt list. We're going to keep him here with the Minnesota Vikings. He'll be inactive until his legal case is over, which is what I think should have happened in the first place. Once his legal case was over and it was it got down to like a petty misdemeanor or something like that, and it was not a felony anymore. He should have been able to play right then and there. I mean, I can see where he's angry.
I know it, but you know, putting it in the hands of some people that, quite frankly, don't know what their policy is anymore. Looking back, hindsight is 20/20. If you had to do it all over again, I'll bet they wouldn't do it that way. But Roger Goodell handled it well. What's he done right lately?
Roger Goodell is the devil, according to Joe Horn, former wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints. We'll talk about that coming up in Sillier Side of Sports.
I'm telling you right now, it is really kind of ridiculous what's going on in the National Football League. I've never seen it the last couple of years. This league was nothing but a pot of gold, And everyone was happy. The players, for the most part, unless you were a complete total Jicky Jack slapnut, where you got in a lot of trouble on the field and got told off and fined enormous amounts of money. But it wasn't so haphazardly run. And so there are so many loose ends now. And I think the people, the people that watch the game, our business with the media, the league itself, everybody was making money off of the National Football League. And we're pretty happy doing so. Now, it is a crapshoot. It's a cluster.
Just when he thought it was going to be over in this whole Adrian Peterson situation, he's reinstated back into the NFL. There's not a lot of talk going on. He wasn't traded before the NFL draft. After the draft, his agent Ben Dogra said, well, it looks like he's going to be a Minnesota Viking. I wish that they would do some contract things. Mm. Over the course of the offseason, multiple sources from the NFL have told Yahoo Sports that several issues are fueling Peterson's desire to want to leave the Minnesota Vikings. There are four of them. And we'll have to discuss those when we come back.
Well, then that's what we're going to do. He talked about retirement. He talked about Olympics initially, right at the beginning of the season, when he got dumped. But we will come back and talk all those different scenarios on Radioactive Sports.